This is Church Alive's Teaching of the Week by Pastor Gene Amoson. For additional teachings or information about the church, go to churchalive.net.
If you knew ahead of time that someone would not appreciate what you were about to do for them, would you still do it? Would you still do it? Would you still give? Would you still show up? Would you still love them? I think we can all agree that it's one thing to do something for people whenever they appreciate it, but it's another thing whenever you sacrifice for someone who's not appreciative or has no idea. Two different things, right? Today we're wrapping up our What a Savior series, and what we've been doing in this series is just really looking at the life of Jesus. Y'all have heard me, you've heard other pastors and probably other people talk about all that he's done for us, but there's so much that we can learn from his life. I hope in this series that you've realized just how much he truly loves you. I hope you've realized how much he cares about every detail of your life, every detail of your life. I need somebody to hear me today. He's seen every tear that you've ever shed. He knows everything that's running through your mind this morning, maybe everything you're struggling with or everything you're concerned about. He knows and he cares. That's the thing. He cares about all of that. But I hope that you've realized that. I hope you've realized that he gave his life just for you because he wants to have a relationship with you. Amen. But what we've been looking at in the last 5 weeks is, for instance, Jesus the human, Jesus the servant, the builder, the shepherd, the Christ. And today we're going to wrap things up by talking about Jesus the Son. Jesus the Son. Now, as simple as it seems, Jesus is a son, right? He is a son. And there's a father and son relationship between him and then God the Father. It probably doesn't look like our relationships with our children. For instance, Cash and I and Audrey, we were playing basketball last night, and I doubt if they were playing basketball. But it probably looks a little bit different from our relationships with our kids, but there's still a father-son relationship there. Now, we got a lot of parents in the room. Let me ask you this question. Are there ever times whenever you're maybe a little let down with your kids, maybe a little frustrated with your kids? It's probably due to sin. And whenever I say sin, I'm not talking about some huge sin. Maybe it's something as simple as disrespect or disobedience. Come on, parents, can we say that? Can we just agree? There's been times where we're a little let down. But then there's other times whenever we're completely like just so excited, and hopefully this is a majority of the time, we're so proud of our kids, we're so excited about, you know, them and just how awesome they are, right? We've experienced that. We see that actually in the word with God towards Jesus. I mean, for instance, we go to Matthew 3:17 and it says, "And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, 'This is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased.'" This is whenever Jesus was being baptized and God the Father was saying this, "Y'all, this is my boy right here and I'm super proud of him." I mean, he was proud of Jesus. That's where we see there was a father-son relationship there and the Father was encouraging him. And so as we're moving towards Easter, I want us to begin today to look at what the Father did for us. And we're going to start in the Old Testament and then quickly go to the New Testament. We'll be there the rest of the service. But in Isaiah 9, verse 6, it says this, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is what? Unto us a son is given." Now that's what we call a messianic prophecy. In other words, it was speaking of the coming Messiah who had not arrived yet, but it was speaking of Jesus, the coming Messiah. Now, if we go to John 3:16, many of you know John 3:16 or you've heard it. It says this, "For God so loved the world that he what? Gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And aren't you grateful for that, somebody? But it says he gave his only begotten son. In Isaiah just a moment ago, it said to us, a son is given. You see that? So our first thing that I want us to get today is simply this. The son was given. Jesus was given. I think without realizing it, sometimes believers look at Jesus, whenever they're thinking about the Trinity, as the sweet one, as the kind one, as the turn his cheek one, And then maybe, without realizing it, they maybe look at God the Father and think, well, he's a little meaner. You know, maybe you've read some things in the Old Testament and you're like, whoa. And so you think maybe God's a little meaner. Well, I want us to just think today that it was God who gave us his son. Come on, somebody. It was a loving God who gave us his son. And we know that with that relationship, I mean, they had that father-son relationship for eons of years before you and I ever showed up. And it had to be hard for him to give his son. Parents, let me ask you a question this morning. How hard would it be for you to give your child up for someone else? And if you're asking this morning, which child? All of a sudden your kids are like, seriously? How hard would it be for you to give up your child for someone else? Maybe a stranger. It would be hard, right? Super hard to give your child up for a stranger. Let's go back to my original question whenever we started today. How hard would it be to give your child up for someone that may not even care or appreciate what you did? Because I need you to hear me today. That's exactly what the Father did. It's what the Father did. I love my relationship with my kids. I adore my kids. I can't say enough about them. Whenever I see Audrey, she is just all girl. She loves her daddy too. I mean, she loves to be in my lap, and I love that. And I don't know what I'm going to do whenever she's too big to get in my lap. I'll still probably try to hold her. Audrey is our little fashion girl. She approved what I'm wearing today, so this is Audrey approved, just so you know. I don't know anything about this stuff. But I love Audrey. Then I got Cash up here who just keeps getting taller, for Pete's sakes, right? And I love my relationship with Cash. Love doing guy stuff. Like, for instance, last night we were playing basketball, but he's starting to irritate me. It used to be I could beat the pants off of him in basketball. I mean, the old guy, he was a little shocked. I'm like, I still got it, son. I still got it. And I could beat him pretty easily, but now I'm having to work for it. There's times, like, for instance, whenever we go out for a run, you know, before cross-country season, he's got to do, like, some one-mile, I guess, time trials where he's got to send it to his coach. And it used to be I would get in front of him, and I was trying to encourage him, like, come on, come on, come on. I'm trying to get him to pick it up and just stick with me. Last season, I thought I was going to die trying to keep up with him. I mean, it was just like, this is not the way it's supposed to be, but we're getting to that point where it's starting to change. And a friend of mine, I told recently, I said, man, I can barely beat Cash in 21. And he's beat me a couple of times. And my friend said, the first time my son beat me, I've not touched a basketball since. Since I love him so much, have you ever felt this way? Like, you hate it whenever they get sick. You hate it whenever they suffer. And you're willing to take that yourself, right? Have you ever thought that yourself? We recently had the flu hit both of our kids at the same time. And I remember thinking, Lord, just give me double flu so they don't have to deal with this, right? I mean, because I hate to see them suffer. I hate to see them be sick. But I want you to just, for a minute, think about the fact that our amazing Father had to watch his son suffer. And can I just tell you this? It wasn't with the flu. It was something much worse. I mean, he saw him beaten. He saw him mocked. He saw him suffer so much. And so our first thing today was this, is that the son was given. The second thing today is this, is that the son was killed. He was killed. Yes, he died on the cross, but I need you to hear me. He was killed for our sins. In Matthew 16:21, it says, from that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and raised the third day. You see that? And he had to be killed. He told this to the disciples multiple times. It seemed like they often just didn't get it. And we know that because as soon as he was crucified, he was placed in the tomb, they lost all kind of hope. They just thought it was over with. But he said, no, I've got to go be killed and then I'll be raised on a third day. They didn't quite understand. And speaking of not understanding, I'm pretty confident that many Christians don't quite understand what Jesus truly did for them, what he really did for them. I mean, let me just ask you, do you really understand what he did for you? the fact that he was tortured for you, the fact that he was killed for you. I mean, he did all that because he loves you, because he loves me, right? In the Bible is a word, it's pronounced propitiation. You don't see it a ton in the Bible. As a matter of fact, if you've got the King James Version, you're only going to see it in there three times. If you're in the New King James, the ASV, or the ESV, you'll see it four times. So if you got like the NLT, NIV, you're not going to find it in there. But this word propitiation, it's something that we need to talk about today. 1 John says this, chapter 2, verse 2, and he himself is the propitiation for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the whole world. Let's go to 1 John 4:10, two chapters later, John says this, and this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the what? Propitiation for our sins. Now, I want us to look at that word, and I want us to really talk about what it means. I've talked about this word a time or two, but yesterday I dug into it deeper, and I ended up like pulling out more because there was more to this word even than I realized. And so I'm going to kind of really stick close to my notes, but I want y'all to hear this just for a minute. Propitiation looks at sin from God's standpoint. We need to remember that God is holy, and since he's holy, he cannot overlook sin. It means God's wrath has been completely satisfied and justice has completely been served. Now, this isn't about calming down an angry God. It's about a holy God whose justice had to be fully honored. Let's think of it like this. A guilty man is sentenced, but someone steps forward and says, I'll serve his time, I'll take his punishment. But here's what makes Jesus different. He didn't just take our place in punishment. Y'all, he also took our sin. Not just our place, not just our punishment. He also took our sin. We were guilty, and Jesus absorbed both our sin and our punishment. Do you hear that? He just absorbed both our sin and our punishment. The wrath of God wasn't avoided or postponed. It was fully absorbed by Jesus. Fully absorbed by Jesus. Now, 2 Corinthians 5:21, and you've probably heard this verse before, it says, for he, God, made him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Understand that Jesus didn't just represent our sin. Y'all, he became our sin. Amen? He became it. Y'all, this is critical, because if God simply punished an innocent man, that's not justice. As a matter of fact, that would be injustice. God didn't just punish Jesus randomly. He placed our sin on Jesus and then punished our sin in the body of his own son. Punished our sin in the body of his own son. And that's why justice was served, and that's why the wrath is satisfied. Amen. 1 Thessalonians 1:10 confirms that whenever it says that Jesus is the one who rescues us from the coming wrath. And y'all, isn't he amazing? Come on, isn't he amazing? I know that was a lot right there, but I wanted you to hear that this morning. And so we said that the Son, Jesus, was given. We said that he, the Son, was killed. And then our third thing today is that the Son was raised. And aren't we excited about that, right? That the Son was raised. I mean, that was a game changer again for all of us. John 21:14 says, this is now the third time Jesus showed himself to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. And then you've got Peter speaking in Acts 5. He says, the God of your ancestors raised Jesus from the dead after you killed him by hanging him on a cross. Do y'all see that? He raised him from the dead. Now, in case you didn't know, Jesus was on the earth for about 40 days after he walked out of the grave. Whenever you think about him being on the earth for 40 days, what was he doing? Well, he was seen by a number of people. We know that, for instance, Mary Magdalene had an encounter with him shortly after he walked out of the grave. Others did as well. Did you know, though, there was actually a point whenever a group of 500, at least 500, saw him all at one time? So it's confirmed by numerous people that Jesus truly was raised from the dead. I got to tell you this, if he wasn't raised from the dead, we're all in trouble. We have no hope. Amen? But here's something that I find very interesting. I mean, the word tells us that he was raised, and that's enough for me. But did you know that there are actually secular Roman historians who confirm that Jesus was seen alive after they put him in the tomb? I mean, for instance, Josephus, who wrote about him twice in the Jewish Antiquities. There's also Tacitus. He was a Roman historian. He wrote about it. Pliny the Younger, Suetonius, they were both Roman historians. They wrote about it as well. And here's the thing. These guys, and there's others as well, they didn't even like Jesus. They didn't like him. They didn't believe that he was the Messiah. Here's what's interesting. They actually called him a troublemaker. And it's not because he was doing bad things, right? It's not like he was, you know, coming into town and just wreaking havoc or anything like that. Maybe in their eyes, you had, of course, the super spiritual folk over here, the Pharisees, you know, the Sanhedrin, all those who wanted Jesus dead. We know that. They didn't like what Jesus was doing and what he was saying. And then on the other side, you've got the Romans, and he was kind of, you know, not doing what they really wanted him to do either. These guys didn't necessarily believe in him. They didn't really care for him. But here's what they all said. Okay, we saw a dead body get put in the tomb. And then we saw the dude walking around later on. Just confirming what our word says. Isn't that great? Just even people that didn't believe were saying, yeah, listen, it happened. I think that's pretty awesome, isn't it? It just confirms the word of God. But here's something I want you to understand. Since he was raised from the dead, y'all, we can be raised from the dead as well. I mean, that's good news, right? That's good news. And what that means in really plain terms is this, is that this body that we all have right now, it's not the end of our story. It is not the end of our story. Now, every one of us is going to die. And I'm not trying to be a pessimist right now. Unless the Lord decides to come get us, and I'm good with that, Lord. Unless he comes, decides to come get us, like, you know, soon, then we're all going to die. The new stats are out. One out of every one person dies, okay? So high probability, right? We're all going to die at some point, but death does not have the final word for us. It doesn't have the final word for those of us who belong to Jesus. And y'all, that is good news, and that's something for us to get excited about. Come on, somebody. He was raised. We can be raised as well. I want us to think about a couple of verses talking about us being raised. 1 Corinthians 6:14. It says, and God will raise us from the dead by his power, just as he raised our Lord from the dead. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 4:14. We know that God, who raised the Lord Jesus, will also raise us with Jesus and present us to himself together with you. Y'all, whenever Jesus walked out of the tomb, he didn't just prove that he was God. What he did was he ultimately opened the door for every person who believed in him. That's what he did. And that happened to him, and it's going to happen to us as well. It's going to happen to us as well. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead will one day raise all of us from the dead, and that's assuming that we have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen? And that's good. That's not just good news. That's incredible news for all of us, right? I mean, that's truly incredible news for all of us. Let me just say this to you. If we're all going to die, we need to be in tight with the one that can raise us up. Come on now, we need to be in tight with him. And here's the thing, God made it so simple for us to be able to be raised. I mean, Romans 10:9 says this, if you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, I'm sorry, we need to talk about this just for a minute, that he's Lord. Declare that he's Lord, not just repeat Jesus is Lord. No, that you truly make a decision to make him Lord of your life. You see, there's a difference in just saying Jesus is Lord and then Jesus, you are my Lord. Whenever he truly has lordship in your life, then it changes the way you live. Your decisions are then based on your relationship with him and how you are supposed to operate as a believer. Do we understand that today? But it says this in Romans 10:9, if you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and if you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And can I go ahead and just tell you, and after that, you will be raised whenever your time comes as well. Amen? Whenever you take that last breath. I love the thought of my last breath on earth, exhaling on earth, and inhaling in the presence of God. You see, we have hope because he was raised. Hear me today, whenever you take your last breath, it's not like an animal or anything like that, like it's just over with. No, because of the soul we have, y'all, I want you to understand, whenever we take our last breath, we'll either be in eternity with him or in truly death, separation from God. But he loves you so much that he sent a son for you. He loves you so much that he got on a cross, Jesus did, and he hung there for you, and he took nails for you, and he took stripes for you because he wants to have a relationship with you. Amen? He so wants to have a relationship with you. Hear me, the Father gave his son, and he knew what he was gonna go through. He knew that he was gonna have to witness him being tortured. He knew that he was gonna have to witness him being mocked. He knew that he was gonna have to witness him literally having spikes driven through his feet and through his hands. But he did it because he loved you. Romans 5:8 just confirms this. It says, but God demonstrates his own love towards us. That while we were yet sinners, when we were still actively sinning, Christ died for us. He handed his son over to those who would crucify him so that you and I once again could be raised from the dead so that we could live with him for eternity and not be separated, but so that we could have truly that eternal life that John 3:16 talks about. The son was given. The son was killed. But praise God, the son was raised for us. What a savior we have. What a savior we have. Come on, today if you would, just bow your head, close your eyes. Let's just take a minute. Let me talk to you just for a minute. Jesus was the Son of God. And you got to understand, he was killed to save each and every one of us, to save you, to save me. And if you have not accepted his gift of salvation, I need you to hear me today. You need to do it today. You may think, Pastor Gene, you don't understand my past. You don't understand what I've done. You don't understand what I've gone through. You don't understand the things that have come out of my mouth. You don't understand. There's no way that this holy God that you spoke of would take me. I need you to hear me today. Your past doesn't matter. The only past that matters is Jesus Christ, because his took care of yours. What he did took care of your past. And so he gave his life. He took the beating. He was mocked. He took the nails for you because he loves you. God sent him because he loves you. And he wants a relationship with you. And I'm just going to be very blunt with you. If you deny his gift of salvation, what you're then saying is that you will be responsible for everything that you've done. And can I go ahead and just tell you, you can't handle that. It leads to eternal separation from God Almighty. Romans 6:23 talks about that. The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God, salvation through Jesus Christ, it brings eternal life. Romans 10:13 says that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord, everyone, it doesn't, again, matter who you are, where you come from, what you've done, it says you will be saved. Everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. So today, if you're here and you've been hearing me talk about this and you say, I'm Pastor Gene, I'm not 100% sure if I have a relationship with God or not. I don't know. I've gone to church or I've done this or I've done that. Hear me. If you're not sure, then we need to make things right today. This is nothing you want to gamble with. You hear me? This is nothing you want to gamble with. If you're here today and you say, okay, I know. I've never asked Jesus to be Lord of my life. Then I want to pray with you in just a moment. Maybe you're here today and you say, well, you know, there was a day that I did, but it's been a long time ago. I've not been doing what I'm supposed to do, and honestly, I need to get on the right track again. Then we want to pray with you as well. But I want to say it one more time. You do not need to put this off. Not one of us is guaranteed tomorrow. Today is truly the day of salvation. It needs to be today. So, as I said, if you're not 100% sure if you know the Lord, if you say, I definitely don't know him, or if you say, I got to get back on track today, then I want to pray with you today, and we're all going to pray together. But I want you to do something just bold, just for a moment. It's just you and I. We've all got our heads bowed and our eyes closed, and it's just you and me. If you're here this morning and you say, I want to get right with God, then I want you to just do something. I want you to just quickly lift your hand up to let me and to let God know that you mean business. Amen. I see that hand. I see it. Anybody else? Praise God. Praise God. Come on. Amen. Four. Anybody else? Come on. Amen. Amen. You can put your hands down. Praise God. All right, listen, we're all going to pray together. Come on, repeat after me. Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner, and I repent of my sins today. I ask you for your forgiveness. I believe you died for me, and you rose from the dead. Today, I declare you are Lord of my life, and I commit to trust and follow you as my Lord and Savior. Come on, somebody say amen today and give God some praise. Amen for what he did.
Thank you for listening to the Church Alive Teaching of the Week with Pastor Gene Amason. We invite you to join us for our Sunday morning worship service every Sunday at 8:45 or 10:30. Learn more at churchalive.net.